Hello everyone, and welcome. Wow, what a day today, and what a few weeks it's been, Dimitri. Welcome to everybody. Today we're talking about solving the wrong problems. So much is going on these days, and people are focusing maybe too much on certain areas and not enough on others. Dimitri, great topic today. Let's talk about our clients and our prospects all talking potentially, sometimes I would say, about the wrong problem. They may be rephrasing it. They might be saying what they want, but they're not quite understanding what the real problem is and how to identify what the real problem is we're trying to solve in AI. So let's have a chat.
Yes, sure. That's actually, it's not specific for artificial intelligence, the topic we're discussing. It's pretty much, you can apply this technique and this problem exists pretty much everywhere. But today we're going to focus specifically on artificial intelligence because there are a couple, nuances related to the current state of technology and artificial intelligence and related issues, related solving the wrong problems issues, I would say. Okay, so number one and probably the biggest one is not properly identifying the actual problem that business has, or maybe misidentifying the opportunity that business might have by applying this technology or that technology. Related to artificial intelligence. And what we've seen most frequently, it happens when not all stakeholders are involved in the process. Because, if you start looking and you just listen to one person, yes, there is a very specific issue and we're trying to resolve this issue. But when you're not looking at the whole system, the whole company, the whole business, and actually the whole ecosystem sometime, you are misidentifying the problem. You're moving in the wrong direction, you're fixing the wrong problem, and you're not actually looking what can be used, how this another stream of the business can be integrated with the stream, or how it could be joined to actually merge it or separate it depending on the activities and on the nuances. And very frequently, that's another issue kind of related to this problem. A lot of assumptions. A huge number of assumptions that we see, people just do not validate those assumptions. They frequently do use the statement, I think we need to move in this direction, and everybody just move in this direction. It's not he thinks or she thinks, it's just assumptions. And now everybody is just using these assumptions for decision-making. There is no data-driven insights, there is no metrics, there is no specific, if it's a business-related ROI calculation, just looks good. So let's move in this direction, right? And obviously another piece which actually frequently overlooked because technology is moving quickly. We emphasize it multiple times during our previous statement, artificial intelligence is moving very fast. People can barely follow this velocity. But there are business needs. There are strategic needs in the businesses. And frequently, those quick adaptations and those quick movement solutions in the technology, they disregard business goals, business strategic goals. And I'm not saying that artificial intelligence should not be used because they are not misaligned with the business goal. No, go ahead, review your business goals, review your strategic views, nothing wrong about this. But when it's used separately, when it's applied separately, and you don't have a synchronization on the technology and the business needs or business goals, you pretty much have failure in this direction. And most importantly, I guess it's kind of derives from what I just said. It's literally focusing on AI capabilities and not looking at the business requirements. So AI is cool, AI is trending, we got to implement it. It's cool thing, everybody are talking, therefore we need to implement AI. And that leads actually to disasters because people just they're not linking these trends with actually business needs, business requirements. So what do you think about this, Dudley?
Yeah, we know what comes to mind, Dimitri. For me, it's this when I've done a number of M&A mergers and acquisition transactions during my lifetime. Right. And what happens is there's this business decision. We need to go out and buy another business, for instance. Okay. Yep. So everyone gets onto that hype mode. We have to buy a business. So it becomes, we have to think. It doesn't become, is this going to be good for us as a decision? So let's say they've already decided we need to do it. So therefore we got to do it. So then we go and we buy a business just because we have to, not because it actually is a really good business to buy. And the problem that what happens is when you're in negotiation and you're talking to the seller, for instance, you know you're getting pressure from behind saying you got to do this. And in the front end, you're negotiating, but there's this what we call deal heat. It's this emotion that starts to creep in. And people start feeling this drive to have to achieve some kind of acquisition because we were told to do it, as opposed to because it's a good thing. And I'm almost thinking that sometimes that's what happens with technology, with any business idea. Someone makes a decision, we need to do X. And it's almost like, what is the problem we're really trying to solve? Do we want to get more customers? Do we need more revenue? Do we need to buy another business, for instance, for maybe they got really good employees and good, very good technical skills. We want to rather buy them because of that. What is the purpose? What are you really trying to achieve? And then are the problems political, like as in, do we have to look good? As opposed to, is this really going to serve us? And I just, I know it's sort of way away from technology, but it's you almost get that sense of sometimes there's this heat happening, this emotional drive. We've got to look like we're doing something with tech and AI and all that type of thing. I don't know, that's my gut telling me.
It is true. I mean, I actually witness it very frequently. It's like, it's literally, where can we apply AI like in our business? Okay, how long, guys? Calm down. let's study your business first, because it's really, I mean, I actually recently sent an instruction to, we're talking to the client, and pretty much all conversation with this client was derailed. They start discussing the business, like, because we need to understand the whole business, like the whole system, how it works. But every time when we start discussing specific range of the business, it's literally, how do we apply AI here? And they all conversation, like, solutions here, solutions that, we need to do this, virtual assistant doesn't work very well here. And 2 hours later, there is no results. Okay, guys, so what did you discuss? Well, we realized that it's not going to be a very good solution here. Yes, what was the goal? The goal was, for the God's sake, was to understand the whole business. So the instruction was, okay, during the next meetings, you are not talking about artificial intelligence. Even more, you are not talking about any solutions at all. You're literally just discussing the business, how it works, what maybe what are the points, what are the most frequently used operations, where just repeated operations people hate to do it, or you cannot scale up some pieces and you have bottlenecks because people cannot produce, or people produce well somewhat not very good results, and we can take a look, but no solutions. Again, it's literally like I was repeating, and it's, well, I mean, it's actually problems from both sides. I mean, people, businesses want to have solutions immediately. And when I'm working with my technical teams, I mean, they're very jumpy. I mean, you tell them about artificial intelligence or some solutions, oh, trust me, they will talk to you. they will talk very long about this. But no, but I mean, back to serious conversation. And understand the whole system. Once you understand the whole system,
there's one other thought. I mean, I'm glad you said it's not just on the client side, or you know, whoever we're talking to, but it could also be on the supplier side. So there's this saying, if the only tool in your toolbox is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And the problem with a lot of suppliers I've seen out there in the marketplace is they only have a hammer, and they will go and they will find anything to use the hammer on in the client's scenario, where the client doesn't have any nails. So why are you bringing a hammer, kind of thing? So we have to really try to balance the ability of the right supplier fitting with the right problem and need within the customer solution on that way around. And then also the customer identifying the right supplier.
Yes.
And I think that's probably why, and I'm going to come back to just a very quick plug in terms of what Glorium Technology does. Glorium Technologies is really a lot more about the process that we follow to engage clients. So a really good example is we don't do a sales pitch to start. What we do is we come in and we'll do a 90-minute presentation. We'll show you what the possibilities are to start opening your mind to those kind of conversations. Right. But then we go into a business analysis. We look at the business processes, the workflows, etc., long before we start providing any kind of solutions or even suggestions around solutions. And right. I think that's the really good thing about Glorium Technologies in terms of the way we operate. We'd rather let's discuss what this is, then let's discuss what are the business processes and the workflows and things that can be affected by these things. Let's maybe even narrow down to 1, 2, 3, or 4 items that we could concentrate on. And then let's just fix those to start with. So let's do baby steps. Let's get the organization into an AI-driven mode, but let's start at least, let's get onto the runway first before we think about taking off.
Yep.
That makes sense.
That's a good analogy. And that's actually, yes, you mentioned about this. Yes, I mean, about our bootcamp. Remember the first week of our bootcamp, we're not talking about artificial intelligence. We're not talking about any solutions. We literally just understanding the business. What do you do? How do you do? What's your data flows? What are the roles? What people do? How frequently here? How frequently there? What's the problems? I mean, state your problems. We will definitely listen. What's the business goals? Where exactly your company is going in the next 5 years? What's your other information related to the business? So this information is gathered again without any technology, without any solutions, without any even thinking about artificial intelligence. Because once you start thinking about solutions, your mind is immediately clouded by wrong, not focusing thoughts. You're not studying. You're already doing something. You're already solving the problem. And if you don't understand the whole problem, how can you solve it? You cannot solve.
Yeah, I think scientists they have a specific. There's a methodology they use to do scientific experiments. They don't try and say, this is the answer. Now let's try and do the experiment to prove our hypothesis. Let's do the experiment and see what the result is and then try to make a hypothesis or whatever it is out of that. Very interesting. And what's really good, I think maybe this links very nicely to some of our previous few episodes where we spoke about senior management, middle management, and sort of your general employee, if you like. I think when we go through this process, again, I want to come back to that business analysis and the boot camp and this let's call it analytical, these steps that we go through. We follow a top-down and a right. bottom-up approach. So the top-down is let's get the vision and where you want to go as a company and what you want to achieve. And the top is more like the senior outcomes, the senior level outcomes, what the business is trying to achieve, KPIs, etc. And then you go down to the bottom and we do bottom up and we say to the people that are on the ground that are actually doing the work every day. And we try to understand what their days look like, what their activities look like, and where can we plug these things in. So a top-down, bottom-up approach gives us a really good result because we're not just talking to the senior people saying, what do you want with AI? And they give us a brief and they sign a payment and say, off you go and make us world champions in the business we're in. But we don't understand what's happening on the ground. And I think that bottom-up, top-down approach is really the only way to deal with it. I don't know. You got more experience.
You're absolutely right. And I mean, you actually asked a very good question at the beginning of this conversation. How you determine that you are in a problem? So what? Well, I mean, obviously, there are all kinds of techniques and it's very difficult to say. I mean, you can take a look at your processes, you can take a look at the results, you can align here, you can see this and you can see that. But I guess that one of the silver bullets, I guess, it's asking question with why. It's not how do you want to develop AI or what do you want to develop or improve with AI. It's why. Why do you want to improve it? Explain it to me. Why do you want to apply it here? Why do you want to improve here? Why do you want to cut down here? Why? And when you start asking this question, that's actually, it funnels down actually to the very good productive conversation, and people do switch from this or let's solve it mode to, oh, okay, what exactly, why exactly are we doing this now? Yeah, seriously, so let's measure it. Let's see, it does it impact our business? I mean, will it impact our end clients? Will it impact our bottom line? Why are you guys doing this? I mean, there is no reason to do this because, look, it's just going to be just a waste of time, resources, and people will be totally dissatisfied with the results. And the whole AI initiative will go down to the drain because the whole approach was wrong. you were solving the wrong problem. I mean, people very rarely repeat the same mistakes or the same process. Like, I mean, okay, AI doesn't work for us. Why? Well, because we didn't know what to do with this. So we wasted our time and resources, and therefore AI doesn't work. And so why exactly did you want to move in this direction? We don't know why. It looked cool.
Yeah, I think you raise a really good point. And whenever we're doing technology-based or even any kind of solution, but let's talk specifically about technology-based solutions. If you can't identify what's wrong and what the problem is you're trying to solve, how can you determine what success looks like? And normally, I mean, again, coming back to Glorium Technologies, the approach that you follow is really more around, in my experience, is that you try to understand with the customer, what does success look like once we finish this?
Right.
Let's not just identify what the problem is, but let's identify what does success look like. And if we know what success looks like, then we've got a benchmark to measure it against. The big problem is if you don't know what the problem is, and you don't know what success looks like once you've solved that problem, it becomes a real sort of disconnect between the two. And it reminds me of this concept of what they call cognitive dissonance. Mm-hmm. Cognitive dissonance is, and a lot of people might not understand this term, but Google it and just get a sense of it. It's a bit like a good example of cognitive dissonance is, you know that in order to be healthy, you've got to eat healthy and at least do some kind of exercise,
right,
and maybe take a break every now and then, but you don't do it, right? So now you're unhealthy. So then you say, what's wrong? There's big problems and I need to be healthy. Maybe I should take a tablet. Maybe I need to go and see a therapist. Maybe I should go and read the stars and tarot cards or whatever it is. But the real problem is just go and do some exercise and eat healthy. And that's how we solve it. And so it's the cognitive dissonance. It's not being able to connect what's going wrong with the actions and activities that you need to be doing to fix that problem. And it comes back to this. And I know it sounds like a very big term, cognitive dissonance, but it's that disconnect between identifying what's wrong and making sure that you can clearly state what the business problem is, and then connecting it with what does success look like? A good question. That could even be a place to start a conversation is, okay, if you want us to come and talk about AI, what does it look like if you've got a successful AI organization or AI-driven organization?
That's true. I mean, applying metrics and using metrics help a lot. And actually, I guess my advice is to use current infrastructure, to use current OKRs or KPIs companies have, because it's easier to show the benefits, it's easier to show the end results, how it's gonna be improved here, there. I mean, definitely new metrics needs to be implemented on top of this, because artificial intelligence, it's by its own, it's a totally different approach to data-driven solutions. But again, as you said, Dudley, yes, understanding, aligning with business, showing how this business will be improved using AI solutions, that's very critical. So, yeah, I mean, I guess your metaphor about let's eat healthy, exercise instead of going and eating pills and going to the doctors is actually a very good analogy for business.
Yeah, and I think the other issue is, especially if you're a leader in a business and you're making business decisions, whoever's around you, especially the larger organizations, they've got to feel that the people taking the lead and making the bigger decisions are making the right decisions. Because these days, it's very, very fickle. I mean, you've seen how many businesses go out of business or having to reduce the number of people. People are losing their jobs because of this big, big change and so on. And obviously there's global conditions as well from an economic point of view and regulation, et cetera. But if your leaders aren't able to make the right decisions, there's an erosion of trust. There's an erosion of credibility in terms of the decisions that they're making. And it's very, very easy. And we've seen this so many times. And I've worked with CEOs and with boards and with especially with the non-exec, with the compliance side of things as well. And it's very interesting when the quarterly results come out or the annual results, and then it gets given to the board, and then it gets given to the CEO to write the notes on the financials. And it's amazing. And I'm just going to give you a random example. I once spoke to this accountant guy, and he would do audits on these large entities. And it was so funny. He says he had a team of people and they had put together all the financials, but there was one missing gap of the financials. So when they delivered the financials that they thought were complete, it showed a particular picture of where the company was and what the results were they had achieved for the year. But then they went back and they double checked and they realized that there was a big chunk of information missing. They then adapted the financials to a new set of outcomes. And without missing a beat, the CEO could explain why that set of financials was exactly the right set of financials. And he had two perfectly good reasonings around why the one was right and the other one was also right, just because he'd been given the different set. It's amazing how adaptable people are to explaining things when they see a set of data.
Explaining is easy. Building something is the harder piece, right?
That's the hard part. And it's about building the trust and credibility that whoever the decision makers are not going to go and make some bad decision that's going to have a bad effect on the company. You're going to lose jobs, going to lose customers, et cetera, or even just lose market share, et cetera. So making sure you make the right AI-based decision. And there's another thing that I just want to bring up, and I think it's quite critical. You've got to start making AI decisions. Let's not beat around the bush. You've got to start making AI decisions. And you've got to start doing something very, very soon, because your competitors are doing things. And unless you actually starting, but just identify what you want to solve first. So be very careful about being pressured from the outside, because everyone's doing it. And now if you don't, you're going to fall behind, as opposed to solving the internal problems you have to get ahead of your competition. And that could be the let's call it the qualifying factor to look at.
That's true. I couldn't agree more with you, Dudley. Absolutely right.
Yeah. So, I mean, all we want to try and do is help our clients not waste money, waste time, waste resources, go down the wrong direction in terms of implementing the wrong AI solutions for themselves. And I think, Dimitri, if I think about our team at Glorium Technologies, I think the beauty about working with Glorium is, in my mind, is there's a business savvy. There's a strategic understanding of business and not just the technology side of things. I've watched you operate. I've watched your guys out in the field operate. And one thing that does stand out to me is having the ability to balance technology and strategy and business understanding and outcomes they're trying to achieve.
Yep, that's what we're trying to do. I mean, that's what we're doing with our clients. It works very well, actually. I mean, it's not the easy piece, to be frank, because, I mean, you're connecting business and engineering teams. And I mean, that's also, I mean, I guess, pretty much known issue. They talk different languages, and connecting this, translating these two different languages, sometimes difficult, but when you know what you're doing, you're doing it good. So, would you focus on the business? I mean, like a lot of clients, actually we have multiple cases when clients would come with us with a technical solution, and we help them to put a pause on the solution because we see that, I mean, at least from our experience, that it's only partial and it's probably will not have a big impact on the solution. I mean, very frequently, like, okay, let's implement virtual assistant. Okay, very cool thing. Everybody are using, very easy to implement. But why do you exactly need this virtual assistant? Well, it's cool. Okay, fine. But let's talk, why do you need a virtual assistant using artificial intelligence? And actually, when you start those conversations, that branches to actually to the right directions, and a client start understanding the business and start understanding, and sometimes like, oh no, you don't need virtual solution actually. You need something that will generate the whole, I don't know, treatment plan or the whole list of plans for this specific department instead of just virtual. You don't need it. I mean, the people already handling it's fine. It's not overloaded. It's actually working much better. Your clients do love human touch. Don't go in this direction. So that's this magic why it helps a lot, actually.
Yeah, I think you summarize it quite well because it is to understand the why. And I mean, let's talk a bit practical now. So in terms of people coming to Glorium Technologies and saying, hey, let's start the conversation, it comes back to that 90-minute presentation and so on. I think there's something special in the wings that's busy that you're busy working on. And I want to just sort of put a little bit of a hook out there and start saying, what I think you need to be doing right now, this is now I'm talking about the audience, is start asking Glorium to show you. In other words, how about let me let the cat out the bag. I mean, we're going to be building a few AI examples, and we're going to start building out a few, let's say, practical, usable AI technologies that you could try, you could give it a go. It's not necessarily going to be built out specifically for you, but it's going to show you the power of AI. And I think if you want to ever have a trial run of something, I think the way to do it is not just to launch out and build, and then hopefully 6 months later, you've got something good. Right. But it's literally within 5 minutes to give something a try. And I'm talking here about a simple HR bot where somebody could be like an onboarding tool where somebody could be new at the company and they now, instead of an employee wasting a day or two showing them around and explaining everything, you rather put them in front of the AI bot, for instance, working, and there's an interaction. Yes, and you onboard your new people at certain levels, and you can train that AI bot or the AI technology to answer the questions, to position the company correctly so that the new person coming on board. I think Richard Branson, this is probably a great example. Richard Branson's, I think, written something like 25 or 26 books. And if you go and you join Virgin Atlantic and you become an employee there, one of your first things you've got to do is read his book, Virgin Atlantic. That book for every single employee reads the book. So in the book, he's got all about his vision, how the company works, what's the culture, what is expected from people, how do they deal with their customers. It is amazing what you can do in a book. I imagine if you put that into an AI and you get your people to buy into the culture, the values, and so on of your organization. That's just one example. I mean, there could be a gazillion other ways to test and try AI. And the nice thing about that is that you can continuously train and improve the training of your AI over time. And imagine all the people that have moved through your organization and they are going into retirement. Imagine taking their knowledge and getting them to answer questions being asked by the AI to talk about how certain problems are overcome, how certain dealing with certain customers or particular things that are happening on the operations and so on. It could really be a good example. I mean, the way I think to do it is not to be worried about giving it a try. And I know I'm just throwing it out there, but I think, Dimitri, I think it's time we give maybe just a view of what's coming in the future and from Glorium Technologies and in terms of giving the people, I think, that are struggling with where does this actually fit in, giving them the ability just to experience it.
And that's actually, Dudley, I mean, this like taste of AI, it kind of contradicts with my previous statement, because my previous statement, okay, understand the whole business before you go with AI, understand the whole processes before you go with AI. But this taste of AI, it's not actually the solution. It's one of the solution just, and actually, that's actually very good that you mentioned this piece, because once, and we do understand and we can deduce more likely directions where AI can help businesses, because we have so much experience and we can kind of predict what's more likely is going to be here, more likely is going to be here, but obviously each business is unique. So again, it's not the solution, this trial version, but this small piece of AI, it actually helps to conduct further conversation, including whys, because people now are open, are more open-minded. They have ideas. They have goals. Because before they wanted to move in this direction, but they just couldn't move in this direction. Now they can answer why. I mean, we would like to have something here and here because it will help us to improve our HR process. Like, I mean, it will improve our onboarding process, because look, now I don't need to waste 1 month sitting with this person and answering his repetitive stupid question and I look boring, right? Now this person actually can get an automated reminders every morning with some information every morning. It's not distract him from his daily activities that he was actually hired for, and he can actually start working for the business almost immediately. So these kind of pieces, they're very helpful again to start conversation, to be open-minded. And actually, remember when we were talking about our previous podcast, we were talking about executive management and blue-collar people, and that helps actually put this whole vertical in one working system, which helps you to answer those whys, that helps you to identify the goals, that helps you to identify business opportunities, not just business benefit, but business opportunities. I mean, let's not forget about this, because business opportunities is, remember, it's what we know that we don't know, right? And that's actually does start those conversation and expand again potential for AI solutions in this area. So it's actually very complex and very interesting times, let me put it this way.
Yeah, thank you. And that rounds it off nicely. And yes, you're right. I mean, it does seem conflicting to have a ready-made solution versus first understanding. My experience has been that most AI and other sort of environments, the thing is people can't imagine. It's like buying a house and there's no, I can't visualize where my furniture is going to sit in the house I'm buying. Does my couch fit there? Is that where, you know, the bed's going to sit? Is that where, you know, where and everything's going to be? So to be able to visualize it, I think is quite good in terms of an example, but it can't be a distraction. So coming back, and I think just wrapping up for the day, this episode was all about solving the wrong problems using AI. And the question is, are people solving the wrong problems? And I think a lot of cases it could very well be. Yes. Or even at least they starting the conversation in the wrong way and asking the wrong sort of solutions or for the wrong solutions for the right problems, but they're not able to match the two. A great episode, Dimitri. I don't know if you want to just wrap up in your final thoughts.
No, I think we've covered pretty much all topics. And again, getting back to this magic why, which helps a lot in all levels, executive management, blue collars, technology level. It helps align people and helps everybody moving in one direction. And actually, this book that you mentioned, it, one of the benefits why people are reading this book and actually force it to read this book, to make people moving in one direction as a one whole organism, as one whole machine. And here also, it's like the biggest challenge to make sure that everybody are moving in the same direction and actually to the same goal. And then everything else comes easy after that.
I love it. Very well summarized. So thank you everyone for joining us again today. It's been an amazing chat and looking forward to next Tuesday or next week when we have our next conversation, Dimitri. Have a fantastic week. I know you're busy. You're going from one place to the next. It's hardly, I don't know how you make time to have a podcast session every week, but we're doing it. And I think it benefits our listeners and people that are following us. And thank you very much for following us. Please make sure that you do subscribe to our channel so that you're notified of our next episodes. We do have a fantastic newsletter that comes out every single week that highlights a number of things that are happening in our sort of conversations that we're having. And once a month, there's also another sort of listicle article newsletter that goes out about all the different happenings across the tech space. So please subscribe to that. Have a look at the website. Go through to the website and have a look at the Glorium Technologies offerings, because it really is well worth looking at that and starting the conversation. Thanks, Dimitri. Thanks, everybody, for joining us, and have a fantastic week.